According to plan, we kept Hua past the 9 o'clock curfew. Pretty easy, as he didn't get to the party until like 7:30. We just kept lying to him about the time. The plan is to give him the knockout drops around 11, and once he's out, take him back to the rendezvous. However, around 10... Come on, Dipper. Just one more beer.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm feeling pretty...
Dipper? Hey. Hey, wake up.
Forget it. He's out.
But we haven't given him the drops.
So, just keep him handy. And if he does come around, we'll just give him to him as something for a hangover.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll work. Well, he didn't come to. We laid him out on the floor, so at least he wouldn't choke if he threw up. Fortunately, he didn't do that either.
Come on, it's getting close to midnight. We gotta get him back.
Yeah. I guess he has a weakness for alcohol. He won't be coming to for a while. So we laid him out on the back seat and drove him to the rendezvous, which is a small access road at the back of the campus. Hard to find and harder to walk to. Kenny and his two friends were waiting for us.
You're late.
Yeah. We ran into a problem.
You gave him the knockout drops, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course we did.
Good. We'll take it from here. Okay, now scram before the sentries come by.
Is this the right dorm?
Yes. Keep it down. Especially once we get inside.
Good thing his room's on the first floor. He's heavier than he looks.
Just shut up and open the door.
He doesn't have a roommate, does he?
No. Now come on, just put him in one of the beds and let's get out of here before someone sees us.
I was up early and already out in the parade grounds when the bugles sounded. The cadets gathered, and, exactly as planned, the only one who was not there was Pooh. Heh. Next step will be to send someone to roust him after inspection for administrative discipline. But add on that he was past curfew, and I'm pretty sure they will catch that he's drunk, and he's gonna be in big trouble. We will all be gone to morning drill while all that happens. Lieutenant Zim paced up and down the lines of cadets coming back to Pooh's empty spot, a scowl on her face. She was not happy. Not happy at all. Oh, he is going to get the book thrown at him. What the? Pooh made it! He's late, but he made it! How? The knockout draws would have made an elephant sleep through Gettysburg.
Draper, you're late. You're out of uniform. Tuck in that shirt. Where were you at curfew last night? You weren't in your room. We checked.
Bathroom, ma'am. I fell asleep there.
Is that beer I smell on your breath, Draper?
No, ma'am. It's mouthwash.
Beer-scented mouthwash.
No, ma'am. Listerine.
So far, so good. I wish she would just haul him out of line and let us go, but no. She was about to lay into him again when her face changed. She then got very close to Pooh and spoke to him in a very low voice. I pulled my hat down lower, so the brim nearly touched my muzzle, just in case. I couldn't hear what Zim was saying to him, but for a split second, I thought I caught Pooh's eyes glance in my direction. Oh, please let that be my imagination.
All right, Draper, drop and start giving me push-ups until I tell you to stop.
Pooh started doing push-ups immediately, as Zim went up and down the ranks, occasionally stopping to correct a cadet's uniform, or their posture, or simply to yell at them to see their reaction. Pooh began to slow down as the strain started getting to him.
All right, Draper, on your feet! Squadron, move out!
Whew. Well, this did not go according to plan, but at least I didn't get caught out. I ran the squadron through the usual morning drill, then dismissed them for morning mess. Zim didn't accompany us today, but nothing says she has to. I had to get to class after that, but I honestly could not relax.
As soon as I woke up groggy, hearing the last of Reveille being played, I knew something was wrong. Why was my head spinning? What did I do last night? No time for that. I had to get out there. I apparently went to bed in my fatigues, fortunately. I straightened what I could and hobbled out there, trying to take my place before Zim got to my spot. She saw me coming and was standing right in front of it when I got there. She dressed me down at the top of her lungs. I had no idea what had happened to me, and I tried to make excuses, which is risky, as they could be considered lying to a superior officer. Then she smelled my breath.
Is that beer I smell on your breath, Draper?
Beer? But I don't... Oh, yes. Yes, I did. Last night. Things were coming back. I made up another excuse as I had to think fast, which was nearly impossible in my state. Then she stopped and got right up in my face and spoke very softly.
Draper, it is unfortunately not unknown for higher cadets to haze the incoming class just to get them into trouble. I've been trained to recognize the signs of hazing, and if you'll pardon me, you're showing all the signs like there was a giant red flag over your head. If you have been hazed, any regulatory violations will be treated as not the fault of the victim. Tell me, do you believe you've been hazed?
Hazed? Suddenly a flood of memories came into my head. The abduction, the initiation, the singing, the carousing, waking up back in my dorm room. Suddenly all the things Zim talked about made sense. This was all to get me in trouble. I saw one of the squadron leaders reach up and lower the brim of his hat down to his muzzle. I glanced his way. Could it be? Damn, it was! I'd been hazed by my own assistant squadron leader. I quickly brought my eyes back to Zim.
All right, Draper, drop and start giving me push-ups until I tell you to stop.
I did as ordered, counting them. I knew I could do about 50 now, what with my reduced weight and increased muscle. I got up to 60 before my arms began to really burn. By 70, they were on fire.
All right, Draper, on your feet. Squadron, move out.
I got up and went through the rest of the morning drill. Fortunately, none of it involved the use of my arms. The assistant squadron leader seemed to be avoiding me. I mean, I never did get a good look at him since most of the orders came from Zim, but this morning, Zim was absent for some reason after we got dismissed. The more quick glances I gave the assistant squadron leader, the more I knew he was the one who orchestrated the whole party. How could I have been so stupid? Now that I bother to think about it, it's obvious. Why abduct me for a secret society? Sending notes or having someone escort me would have made much more sense. And wouldn't we have all been in dress uniforms, not fatigues? I was an idiot. I dragged myself through the rest of the day, my head pounding from the hangover, my arms aching from the push-ups. Well, most of the rest of the day. Right after my 2 o'clock economics class, as I left the classroom, Lieutenant Zim was waiting.
Cadet Dipper Draper, you are to follow me.
Uh-oh. I must be in real trouble now. I obediently followed her out of the building, directly to the Exos building. Oh man, he's gonna be pissed at me now. We entered the building, but immediately turned in the opposite direction as his office. Down the hall we went until we came to a double door, at which point Zim turned to me.
Once we enter these doors, you are to say nothing unless spoken to directly. You will be directed where to sit until called on. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am. She then opened the door and directed me to enter. There were already several people there, including General Frankel. He didn't even look at me. I was directed to a row of chairs where several others were already seated. At least two of them I recognized from the party last night. I sat down without a word, still scared to death.
All rise.
Everyone stood and the doors to the room were then opened. In came two of the uniformed MPs, and between them was my assistant squadron leader. They came up the aisle and stopped in front of Frankel.
This hearing of Article 15 is called to order. You may be seated.
Adjutant, please read the charges against the accused, Cadet Samuelson.
Cadet Samuelson, you are charged with 3 separate accounts of harassment of fellow cadets dating back 2 years. Count 1 was against Cadet Miller 2 years ago and who is present in the room. Count 2 was against Cadet Ingram a year ago and who is seated next to him. Count three was against Cadet Draper, which occurred within the last 24 hours, and is seated next to him. You were aided in these counts of harassment by Cadets Houston and Willis, who are also here. Each is prepared to give a sworn testimony against you.
Cadet Samuelson, you have heard the charges. Do you wish to hear their actual testimony?
Sir, I want representation by a lawyer.
This is not a court-martial. You do not have a right to an attorney at an Article 15 hearing. Do you wish to hear their actual testimony?
Sir, I was never told that my actions constituted harassment.
Before you were admitted to this academy, you were sent a packet that included the very regulation with examples you are being charged with. You signed a paper indicating you had read it in its entirety. At the beginning of the previous academic year, I directed that every squadron be read that regulation every week, read by either the squadron leader or the assistant, meaning you actually read that regulation repeatedly and recited it to your squadron. Now, if you think you have not been told, you are either ignorant or stupid. Which is it?
You can't just throw me in jail without a lawyer. My father, General...
Cadet Samuelson! Are you requesting a recess so you can call your father? Please do. Then let me speak to him. It's not every day that I, a lieutenant general, get to chat with a lower-ranking brigadier general about how his son broke the rules regarding hazing. Little man, I'll write the book that I'm about to throw at you. I can't incarcerate you in an Article 15 hearing. However, I am the superintendent of this academy, and you are here as a cadet subject to my approval, which may be withdrawn at any time. Keep pushing, and I may decide to turn this into an actual court-martial. You get your lawyer, but I get to toss your sorry tail in jail. Do you understand? So, do you wish a recess to call him?
That took the wind right out from under Samuelson's wings. He looked at us then, all five of us, one by one. He then turned back to the old man.
I waive my right to your testimony, sir.
Very well. Are you prepared to hear the judgment of this hearing?
I am prepared, sir.
The old man then stood up, and so did all of us.
Cadet Kenneth J. Samuelson, Jr., it is my judgment as superintendent of this academy that you have shown disdain for the code of conduct of an Air Force officer by repeatedly and knowingly harassing your fellow cadets on several occasions. You are hereby expelled from the United States Air Force Academy and will be receiving a general discharge from the United States Air Force. So ordered this day, October 17th. MPs, please escort Mr. Samuelson to his room to retrieve his possessions. This hearing is dismissed.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this event and don't ask why. It's not a question, but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind, and put them on a shelf in good health and good time. Relive the memories and nightmares of this trial. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Zim had me turning my ropes. That marked me as an assistant squadron leader right then and there. I was escorted back to the senior barracks and told to pack everything. And I mean everything. They provided me with an extra duffel just in case. I was then escorted off campus to the holding building, where I could arrange transportation home.
It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
How do I explain this to my dad?
an Air Force general getting his own son kicked out of the academy and the Air Force.
It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
My dad will have a fit. What am I going to do?